Doug Christie.
I mean, you know, you got to make a business decision.
He's Jason Ross.
Literally, how do I tackle him?
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Jason Ross and Doug Christie right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. We're coming to you from Golden One Center, the second to last home game of the regular season.
Oh, man. Come on. You had me going there. I was ready to roll. And
you want to pick me up?
Yeah.
It's Slampson's birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, Slampson. No doubt.
See?
Slampson's not a bull. He's a lion.
Yeah. What are you saying? Taurus?
That's right.
It's all right.
You know your zodiac sign.
Taurus season.
So we got Kings basketball coming up tonight right here at Golden One Center. Doug, I'll give you another pick me up.
I'm gonna need a few. Look at that dog right there, that police dog. He's a good looking dog. Yes, sir. I see you. Happy. Okay.
It's Tuesday. That means there's trouble or no trouble.
Oh, okay. You want something from me?
No, I just wanted to pick you up. I'm here to pick you up.
You want I can tell you're gonna hit me with something later.
Maybe. We will have five on it.
I can only go to $50. That's all I got.
We'll have the crossover. We'll have Chris's over-under.
Oh, boy.
Again, he's very good at this. That'll be coming up later in the show. Lots of things to get to, so let's do it. Let's start chat with First Things First. Gotta leave him guessing.
Yeah, okay.
Tonight is the Kings going for the season sweep of the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight at G1C. They're in this spot because two nights ago, this happened here.
Pokuševski gives it up. Deck launches a deep three. In and out, no good. The horn sounds, and this one is over. The largest margin of victory for the Sacramento Kings in this building. Now in its fifth season, Golden One Center. Final score is 126-98. Kings win it by 28, and they certainly enjoy racking up victory number 30 this year against 38 losses.
Yeah, convincing win for the Sacramento Kings, and now they got to try to continue to handle the right business, which is playing the right way. They did that the other night against an OKC team that really is struggling.
That's the largest margin of victory, huh?
In this building, yeah.
Wow.
That's beatable. Very beatable.
What did he say? How many?
What was the final score the other night?
28?
Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were leading by 35 at one point.
No, we haven't just railroaded anybody yet.
I beat the old mark, which was 27. There were some 26s and 24s.
Maybe like a 40-point.
Okay.
Walloping.
That was going that way for a while, 35, and yeah. Then it just, you know, 28. Nothing wrong with that.
This is a game about learning. Can you show that you've learned, regardless of what the season is going to do? You just played a team. You beat them in a certain way. Do you come out and allow them to put their influence on the game? Do you stay consistent? Do you rebound the basketball? Are you handsy on defense? All the things, the little things that you did to win that game convincingly and in an easy fashion, can you repeat that?
Yeah, and that's what they're going to try to do here is finish the season as strongly as possible. They got a game tonight. They go to Memphis for two, and then they end up with Utah. And that's the hard part, too, is now seeing the end is almost here. Like, even when I told you, second to last home game, yeah, as much as sometimes you want to get to the finish line and then see what's next, you're still in the race, and you got to keep just playing whatever the race means to you. Like, you've got four games left, so keep playing. Yeah.
Yeah. That. Yeah,
that's hard.
It's really hard. I've been here. I don't know how many years I've been here now, five or something like that. And like I was telling Jeff Anderson, our friend, when he came up, I was like, I don't know how G-Man has done this.
I know for so many years.
For so many years, we got to do better, man. Mm-hmm. We have to. I think this fan base deserves it. You have the infrastructure here now as far as a brand new arena, all the different things that are going on in Doko, and the support of an incredible fan base. Like, it's got to happen, man.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not, you know me, I'm not talking about playoffs.
Right.
Playoffs?
Right.
We're talking playoffs. That's not what, exactly, RJ. We're not talking playoffs. Championship, Jason. Okay? Do I need to say it again? You got me.
I'll hear it again.
Okay. Championship, Jason.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, that leads into our next topic because it ties into this one for First Things First.
First Things First.
First Things First. First.
Well, because the Sacramento Kings did not take care of their own business really for the majority of the season, Doug, they did need some help. Last night they did not get help, and basically the Spurs didn't end it, but it's very, very close. The magic number for elimination now for the Kings is just one. So any combination of a Kings loss, any combination of a Spurs win, and it's a wrap. And the Sacramento Kings would then tie the NBA record for the longest drought or the most consecutive years without making the playoffs, which would be 15. But credit to the Spurs, because last night I chalked that up as a loss.
I did too.
I said they will not beat the Bucks. I saw the score at halftime. Man, let me check in. Wait, what? The Spurs scored 87. It was like 87-61. I went, well, they can give that up. They didn't give it up. They scored 146. Giannis played. The Bucks were all there.
Yeah.
That's a good win for the Spurs. And it, again, didn't knock the Kings out, but it's really, really close.
You know what it does? It takes me away from those Bucks and sends me back to those.
Oh,
Brooklyn
one night?
Nets.
One yeah. night?
Come on, man.
Well, the Spurs play them again, so maybe if the Spurs beat the Nets, will it change your mind?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think that's my ultimate question about Milwaukee is, like, you guys should be locked in. You've had a couple of rough outings. You had two MVPs, all the different stuff. And you allowed your old mentor to come in and just shellac you like that. They were at home, correct?
This was in San Antonio.
Oh, it was in San Okay. Yeah. Largest margin of victory ever?
I don't think it was their largest ever. Spurs, no. They've got to have some.
You said Golden 1 Center.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Do you know what it was at Arco?
50-something.
Oh, there we yeah. go. Now we're cooking with
Yeah, and this that was like the 92 Kings team that wasn't very good.
Yeah, that's okay.
But you can do that
every once in a while. You just throttle somebody. So, yeah, you didn't get help. And, you know, how about this? Shout out to the San Antonio Spurs. I thought they came in here, and it was a well-played game on both sides of the ball. A very entertaining game. The crowd that was here was immensely into the game, and the Kings, unfortunately, weren't able to get the victory. Then San Antonio backs it up. I thought they had a chance to lose every game going out.
I did, too. I thought on paper, right, you don't play the games that way, but on paper, when we were reading their schedule, I said their easiest game is the Kings, like just based on record-wise. Well, they beat the Kings, went the next night and lost to the Blazers, and then this one I was pretty certain was going to be a loss for them, and they dominated. It was a record-setting half, 87-point first half, 87.5.
They barely beat the Kings.
Uh-huh.
They go get beat by 20, which I thought they would in Portland. And then they go home and they just absolutely open a whole can up on them. And you got to take your head off to them. Pop is dialing it in, going with the guys that he has, and he's figured out the best way to play them at a high level.
Yeah, what'd they hit? Well, 17 threes. I know they had a big number at the first half. They ended with 87 first half points. They got the win. Again, magic number now for the Kings on elimination is one. That's any combination of any Spurs victory or any Kings loss. So the margin is about as razor thin as you can get. And I think the other lesson, not that we didn't already know this, Doug, but it is, we can look at a bunch of things that went wrong in the Kings season, but don't put yourself in this spot where you need help. You know, the teams that have already secured the bag, they're already in. Yeah, you can worry about seeding now, but you don't want to have to put all your work in late. And the Kings are doing some nice work now. It's going to be too little too late.
Yeah, and yeah, you want to be able to depend on yourself. And those are the nights when you go out and don't lay an egg. And
beat
don't
Detroit.
Come out. Yeah,
beat
exactly.
Minnesota.
Don't come out cool jazz festival, as we say. You come out, you're ready to go, you're focused, you're locked in. And even in, was it the San Antonio game where he called an early timeout? No, it was the game before.
Correct. I think it was Indiana again.
Indiana, yeah, again. Like, those things are things that you can take care of. Like, it happens. I totally get it. Why I'm saying it is it happens more than it should happen for a Kings team. I've seen Pop do the same thing, mm-hmm. but more than not, they come ready to play and ready to get after it. And that's probably been the biggest bugaboo for me, because that also fades into all the different problems that you've had. Like, if your approach is not correct, you're probably not locked in on the defensive end. You're not focused on rebounding the basketball. You might be turning the ball over. We can even talk about free throws and different things. Like, you got to lock in and come in and make sure that every stone is turned over for you to get the W's that you need to get to make it to the
championship. Not the playoffs. Championship.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, let's give you now more First Things First.
First Things First.
Well, I guess it kind of comes down to timing. I don't know that this story ultimately was that surprising because it's something that's been out there for so long, for years, really. But then when, boom, a strong statement is made, you're trying to get some action going. And here's what the story we're referring to. Major League Baseball put its foot down, Doug, today, and basically the A's situation in Oakland. They have been on a quest to get a waterfront park, and it's been on hold for several different reasons, whether there's some holdback and reservations from the A's, certainly from the politicians and the political revenue or arenas there in Oakland. Major League Baseball is saying basically it's going to work at the waterfront or we're going to start exploring options to take this team elsewhere. So I think what today's bold statement is going to get some results.
Mm.
And whether it's the results A's fans want, it could be. And it reminds me of some parallels here. And so now when cities get floated out, we've seen, oh, wouldn't Portland be a great place for the A's? Wouldn't Vegas? People here are saying Sacramento. When you start to get the pressure that relocation and movement is very possible, that's when things really start to go. So how serious are you, Oakland, to getting this done? And are you going to be the city that's going to say goodbye to the Raiders, the Warriors, and now the A's? How awful would that be?
It would really be awful. I thought that you might be able to keep the A's, but when you get to this point, I could see it not working out. And the reason I say that is, whatever you want to say about the A's, the Warriors were the hottest thing going, and you were unable to make that thing happen, and they move across the bay. For the Athletics, it's been proposed. It's been talked about. We've had David Cavill on many times talking about the possibility and all these different great ideas that are being had. I can see a similar to what we watch with the Seattle Supersonics, and all of a sudden here's Mr. Bennett and he has an arena in a different state and says, let's go and here's the cash and bye. Like, it can happen. And they've seen it with the Raiders. They've seen it with the Golden State Warriors. And now the Oakland A's. I'm glad for baseball. I'm glad for A's fans if it goes their way, not if it doesn't. But this is something that should have been resolved, you know, some time ago. I do understand that we just went through a pandemic and different things.
Sure.
So I get that. But we were talking about this years before
multiple
that.
Multiple years here. Yeah. This isn't a – and then the struggle – where I think some of the political leaders, I don't know if this has been universal because I'm reading some of the accounts today, I think some are in support of this. Others have talked about the best footprint being where they currently are. But now you're talking about a complete redo, and it just, they need a new stadium.
I mean, right.
And the problem is, even if we float a city like Las Vegas out there,
Well,
brand new hockey team,
yep.
Brand new stadium for the Raiders. They build a casino basically every day.
Yep.
Is it that far-fetched to see them getting the baseball stadium they want?
No, not at all. I would say that that's
exactly what they want besides being in Oakland.
Yeah, and being on the water and all the different things. Well, you know, Vegas, they might build a lake. So
sure, they can create something.
Yeah, they can create whatever you want. This is – it's sad, but for baseball as a business
– yeah.
They're like, okay, well, one of our organizations is teetering back and forth, and it's been going on for far too long. Let's get this done. And they lead their division.
Mm-hmm. They're a good team.
They're a good team.
Yeah.
So that does not help. Like, it's not a good look that a good team isn't able to get solidified in a geographic area. And now that that is out by Major League Baseball, you gotta think that some people might start putting in some bids. I saw that Alex Rodriguez and the in his ownership group thing kind of hit a snag.
It's a little wobbly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Alex was trying to buy a baseball team. Might that be something that comes along?
Well, and that's the problem right now, from what a lot of people that cover this team and write about this team have suggested, and have suggested for a long time, they want the A's to sell ownership. So now if you get a different owner in there, much like what happened here, you know, you played when the Maloofs were here. The Kings were so close to moving. Some things had to be moved around and changed. And then ultimately there was a lot of the Maloofs just wanted to make some money and sell. There was a ton of money being offered in Seattle. Ultimately, when the Kings rallied, made everything work here, and found new ownership with Vivek and that whole crew, that's what kind of made things stay alive here. So, but you had to have a willing sell, because at one point it didn't feel like the Maloofs were willing to sell until that package was presented in Seattle. And you know, like we always say, my house isn't for sale. Well, there's a number. There's always a number.
There is.
I don't know what that number would be for the A's, but a lot of people want an ownership change there to see if that gives the best chance to keep him in Oakland.
Can you imagine an ownership change that believes in, you know, like really spending some money on the team and you have this farm system and you have this development of talent?
Feels like it could be a sleeping giant.
It could be really quickly, because think of all the talent that your team has stolen over the years. I mean, that's kind of what you guys do. It's a thing.
You develop them. We get their prime years.
That's a damn shame, bro.
No, but I mean, but they've done that for other teams. But that's and to their credit, to be
still be viable.
They're not the Pirates. No. They're not some of these lesser teams that just can't win. They win.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I look at my Mariners. Like, great city, great ballpark, right there. Everything that Oakland would want.
The A's had that. How much more would they be thriving?
My goodness!
And they got a diehard fan base that's.
Well,
crazy, but like a good crazy.
That could leave. We're going to get into the conversations like we did with our very own Jason Ornelas.
Said the Raiders.
About the Raiders.
I'm done with them.
I'm done. Like, how many A's fans are going to still be A's? It'll be weird.
Yeah.
But the unweirdness kind of happens.
So if we, you know, that's what we do. We play armchair owners, GMs, I don't know, on the radio.
I'll do the owner thing.
Okay.
I got my cuff link.
Sacramento?
Sacramento Athletics? This is, you tell me, could you hold it? Meaning, like, because one thing that about baseball, and as we see here, we got Kings, we got Sierra Nevada, we got different sponsors, Raley's, I think, is on this side, something like that. Like, that's part of the big thing that keeps these organizations going is the ability to get local and national sponsors to bring in the big time bucks to be able to pay. Does Sacramento region have that? I mean, we're talking about MLS.
Sure.
20,000 seat stadium right over here at the rail yard. Like, we go from almost losing everything to three. Like, you got basketball, soccer. Yeah, I do too. Now, could you support two?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's interesting. I heard this when I first got here. People have always said, baseball town. This is a baseball town. I feel like it's a basketball town. That's me, but maybe I'm too into it now.
No, I do too. I mean, whatever people want to say about baseball,
I think they like baseball here.
I think they do. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
People would go out.
Does this make sense? I think that Sacramento is a baseball town, but it's more of a Kings town. Does that make sense?
I mean, I know what you're saying, but do you think that's the case? Do you think it's Kings a baseball town?
I think if the Kings were to leave, I don't think that there'd be many NBA fans in Sacramento. They're baseball fans in Sacramento.
I don't know.
Okay. I got you.
Well, I mean, the thing now is we've been here for 30-plus years. I think we've built an NBA fan base for the Kings, but for basketball in general as well.
So what you're saying is if fans had a choice between the Kings and Athletics?
I think it would still be the Kings.
Okay. Well, then it's a basketball town.
No, it's a Kings town.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
I don't know how many Giants fans have become A's fans all of a sudden in Sacramento.
I don't know either. I mean, there are a lot of Giants fans
here. That's what happens when you get – Golden State fans that were Kings fans. You won some championships and voila.
I think there would be, you know, I've already seen people come think about Sacramento in the summer with baseball. Yeah, you'd have to play night games.
Yeah, or you'd have to have, you know, some type of top on it that opens up.
Like
that's what we have in Seattle.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think, and people have always said Raley Field can expand. There's different things there. I don't know. Or if you build something completely.
No.
See, now if you're talking about building something completely brand new, I don't
know. You got to build it. Because you couldn't run into the same problem that you got in Oakland.
Yeah.
It would be the same thing. If the A's want to come here, they would say, okay, Sacramento.
Build us a stadium.
Yeah.
Not happening.
And it has to be first class, state-of-the-art.
Right.
I mean, that is a thing.
After a pandemic. Where a town that's more of a political town, we know, and it's, you know, the Kings are probably getting most of that national and local dollar.
Uh-huh.
Now you need to find another. I mean, that's probably one of the areas that hurt Sacramento the most.
Yeah.
So they've secured it. They've got this incredible building.
You think that that's anything with the whale that is being searched for MLS?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Like all the things that are being taken into consideration when you say that. Because, like, okay, the King, you know, if we look at the dollar as a whole, meaning the whole sports dollar here, the Kings have said percentage of that. So now they're like, well, okay, I'm the whale. I'm bringing in the money. And this is there's only 25% of the dollar left.
Yeah.
So I get a quarter. Kings are getting 75%. Like, is that a thing?
What percentage of Dogecoin would it be?
I was just about to say, because I got an idea. Chris could be the investor. Sell all your Dogecoin, Chris.
No, he's large.
Cryptocurrency Chris.
How much you got, Chris?
I would not like to state that.
Okay. Oh. Enough to buy the A's, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Twice over.
I thought that you were so rich now that you would just go, hell with it. Listen, this is how much I got.
Here's the number.
Yeah, here's the number.
I'm only here for the health insurance.
Well, we've got more on this story, certainly with the A's and their future in Oakland. Now, more First Things First.
First Things First.
First Things First.
All right, a little history last night in the NBA.
Now, right lane, Gallinari with his back to Hutchinson, edges in the paint, turns, shoots. That's in and out. Thought about going down. Now, Russell Westbrook does have his 10th rebound. So, Russell Westbrook has done it. The unbreakable record has been broken. He now has the most career triple doubles in NBA history, 182. That was definitely history. And now, Westbrook, right wing outside the arc, Ish-Smith for three. It's there. It's there.
What a minute. He had rebounds. He's led us back to victory, broke the record, and hits a three.
Yeah, of course, it had to be there. It had to score because Russell Westbrook not only now is the NBA career leader in triple doubles, but he's got his team within 4 points.
Well, we thought it would happen, but it didn't quite happen before the show ended yesterday, Doug. But he gets to that number, gets the triple double, and Russell Westbrook gets it, like it was described there, a record that was thought to be unbreakable, and now he sets a new mark. Passing the Big O.
Pretty incredible, man. I just polarizing in many ways is Russell Westbrook, and for whatever reason, I didn't know he didn't average double figures in college.
Mm-hmm.
He only averaged 9 points.
Yeah,
he comes into the league. I can remember him early on, and me and my son. That's when we watched a lot of basketball, and pretty much right away, I was like, I like that guy right there. And Dougie's like, you know, he's like, no, Kevin, you know, kid, they like the big shiny thing. But to watch him evolve into the type of player that he's evolved into, and just understanding, and this is where I think that maybe fans don't realize, understanding what it takes, Jason, to get a triple-double. I don't even think I've ever – I think I might have got triple-double. And I'm a pretty all-around type of player. You have to handle the ball a lot, though, to get the assist. I think I've probably even got closer to a quadruple-double than I got a triple-double. But when you think of what it takes, if you know, to do what he's done, it is – it's incredible, man. I never thought I'd see in my lifetime until he did it for a whole year. And then I was like, okay, this is probably something that could really happen. Be it he stayed healthy. And that was part of it because ever since that run-in with Patrick Beverly and hurt his knee, he's had a couple of knee surgeries, but he takes no plays off. He brings it every single night. When you tune in to whatever team he was playing for, you knew exactly what you were going to get. It is full speed, pedal to the metal, all night long. Have so much respect for the man, and I'm happy that he's getting some flowers because he deserves it.
Yeah, I think, you know, yesterday when I was starting to look at some of the numbers of what he's done, I think what that rabbit hole taught me, besides the obvious of visually – he plays so hard. That is so noticeable, and I appreciate that probably the most about his game. And to your point, when you said early on you saw him, I can remember now at Arco Arena sitting there, and rest in peace, Marty McNeil, sitting when we used to be courtside, sitting right next to him. And I remember Marty saying, man, if this cat gets a jump shot, watch out.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to get that foul line jumper. It's still not the most effective, but Marty's point was he can go by everybody. Athletically, he plays so hard, and if he could get a consistent jump shot. I don't know if it's ever been deemed consistent, but he's gotten better at it. And then looking at what he's doing this year, Doug, being that this is going to be, he's going to lead the league in assists. This is the most assists he's ever averaged.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most rebounds he's ever averaged. He's 32. I mean, this is nearing the twilight of his career.
He's not even in the conversation for MVP this time.
He's not. He's not. In another triple-double season when that was the benchmark before, and he's going to do it. This is the fourth year in a row, I think?
Yeah, fourth year. And I think that it really speaks to his greatness that he's normalized something that for so long the greats of the greats said, nobody's getting that record.
Yeah.
And for him to not only get it, and if you look at the statistics of like when Big O got his to compare to when, like he's doing this later stages of his career.
They flip-flopped where they did it.
Yeah, Big O was doing that early on. And, just impressive in so many different ways. When you're talking 20 rebounds, 20 points, 20 assists, like, in a game,
yeah,
like those are numbers that Will Chamberlain was getting. And about 6'3", but one thing that I also appreciate about Russell Westbrook is the condition that he's in.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing that I always say, like, if we look at the game as a whole, like a sphere, like 100%, the one variable that you should take out immediately is conditioning, because you're playing a game that requires it. So that's the one thing we should get out of the way right away before we even start. Like, are you? And his body, like physically, you can tell that he's really taking, like, lifting weights and push-ups, and I'm just every aspect of that. And that's how he's able to play with that type of force and aggressiveness.
Hey, yeah, Doug.
Yes, sir.
Does February 29th, 2000 mean anything to you?
February 29th. 2000. Nah.
Not only is it the day that Tyrese Halliburton was born, but the Toronto Raptors played the Chicago Bulls. Doug's closest shot at a quadruple double. 35 minutes, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 7 blocks, 7 points.
How many steals that night? Man, you almost got it with blocks. You had 7 blocks?
Hey, man, you know.
Only 2 steals.
You know, every once in a while,
7 blocks.
Sometimes, man, you know, the spirit moves you, man. No, I was blessed with the ability, similar to some of these players that we talk about, to be able to do so many different things. So I love the game, and you just kind of play. Like, see, for me, like, I wasn't stat watching in a way like I gotta get my points. Some right. guys are like that, and I
maybe
get,
you should
and
have
that
done
can
that.
Get you exactly. You're probably right, Chris.
You probably could have had a triple double.
Yeah, you're really right, but it just wasn't my style. I wanted to win more than anything.
Does April 2nd, 1997 mean anything to you?
April 2nd, 1997. Sounds like a really good year. That I had hair, Chris. No,
you had a big game that night.
Oh, did I?
29 points.
Okay.
15 rebounds, 7 assists against
Damn.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
Who was I playing for then?
Not only that, you almost – oh, wait, I'm looking at – oh, yeah, right here. You could have had a quadruple-double that night too. 8 steals.
Woo!
Who was I playing for that night, Chris?
The Raptors.
Man, make a shot, Damon Stoudemire. Come on. Tracy Murray, make a shot. Ah!
Camby.
Camby, nah, he wasn't there yet.
Man,
I don't
you
think.
Guys had 3 players with 20 or more points.
Okay, maybe they were.
Carlos Rogers, 24. Damon,
Carlos
23.
Missed a couple dunks.
Who had 23?
Stoudemire. Camby with 13.
Oh, Camby was there. There you go. Ah.
We'll get you one.
Should have had
those boat is sailed.
Should have had you know what it was? Now that I'm looking at it, you guys won by over 20. Coach took you out too soon.
So I was.
If you had a fourth quarter, you would have done it.
Okay. Yeah. So do I get an if triple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Triple
if.
You should get an if quadruple.
If quadruple double.
Because you were only two. You needed three assists and 2 steals for a quadruple double.
Hey, could have found that. There's only a few of those.
It's only 5 ever in the history. Ugh.
Should have been you.
Man, if that game was in 2017 instead of 1997.
Hey. In the bag.
I should have just been a greedy SO. Okay.
All right. Capital Casino is now open again with their outdoor gaming venue at 411 North 16th Street in Sacramento. We will break, come back, talk more about this Kings game. What's the approach now to the final 4 games? The magic number for elimination is just 1. Do you even try to play Fox and Barnes? We'll discuss that when we come back here on KHDK. All right, back here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie, coming to you from Golden 1 Center. Tonight's Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yes, sir.
Got Trouble or No Trouble to start the next hour. We have Five on It coming your way as well. More discussions on this Oakland A's situation and their future in Oakland. We said it was Slamson's birthday today. It's also Mo Harkless's birthday.
Hey,
happy
Mo.
Birthday.
Yeah, we had Mo on the other day.
Man. Yeah. He's been a nice king.
Yeah. How old's Mo? I'm going to say, let's see. I know he was 9 years in the league, probably came in early 30.
That's your final answer?
Yeah, I was going to go 29, but I'm going to go 30.
Okay. And the survey says Mo Harkless turned 28 today.
28? Wow. Mo came in. Wow.
And as a reminder, what? How old were you when you came to the Kings?
30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had your best years.
Wow.
For about 30 to 34.
Dude, he's been in the league for 8 years, man.
He's a pup.
He's a pup.
Doug was a young 30, though.
Doug was a young 30.
Is there such thing, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You were a young 30.
Yeah. So, Chris, am I still young?
Yeah, you're a young 63, right?
I'm signing Mo. I like Mo.
Okay.
I like what Mo brings.
So, this is the conversation we've had. How can a team that, again, magic number for elimination is one.
Okay.
Any Kings loss, any Spurs win, it's over. So that'll be 15 years in a row. It's not all this team.
Uh-huh.
But I'm with you in a sense that I love Halliburton. I love Fox. I think Barnes would be a big part of what they're doing going forward. There's enough pieces here. Now we're talking, I like Terrence Davis. We could throw, I mean, you talk about Bagley. Are they going to resign Holmes? How can you come back with a team that's going to be below 500 and expect different results?
Does 500 get you in? Would it have got you
this year?
Into the playoffs mm-hmm. this year?
In the play-in, at least, opportunity.
Into the play-in. Do you think that this bunch, as presently constructed, if they had a whole season with a training camp, would be better off than they are right now?
Yes, and I guess that was the second part of what I was going to ask you here. So if I gave you these choices to – what would have had the biggest impact on this specific season? Of these choices, Marvin not getting hurt,
mm-hmm.
so put that as one choice. The defense for the entire season, what they've played, let's say the last month.
No, you can stop right there.
That's it?
I don't even need to hear anything.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
Yeah.
I won't give you the other
No, thing. Just give them to me. But
the lineup they have now, like this lineup from day one,
uh-huh.
or avoiding 2 9-game losing streaks, which – if all those other things happen, maybe you avoid the 2 9-game losing streaks.
Yeah, I think that the 9-game losing streaks are a byproduct of the thing that I said. Stop, freeze, and hold, my friend.
On the defense.
Yeah. If you're locked in on the defensive end that way, because if you look at the teams that are going to make the playoffs and probably go past the first round, all those teams are fairly good defensively, with the exception of probably the Brooklyn Nets, who could – win it all, and they're terrible on not terrible, but they're just not great on the defensive side. I think that this is the first time in history of the NBA that there is a team that is number one in the NBA in both or in the top three in offense and defense. The last team to do it was the Golden State Warriors. The team that's doing it right now is the Utah Jazz. And I've told you many times that their talent level isn't immensely more. They have a lot of really smart, high IQ players. They got United Nations over there. They got players from all around the world, but they play a high level of basketball, very connected, and defensively they get after it. That, to me, is doable. So
why did this happen here at the end? Because, like, I think now they're 6-2 without Fox. We know Fox is their best player.
Yeah.
I think they've rallied and played collectively, but it's also been better defensively. And I don't – Fox, at times, individually, is also their best defensive player.
Right.
So why? Why is this better here, really, since the Jazz game where they gave up all the points in the world?
You know, this is – it's an interesting conversation in a theory that many times teams play better when their star goes out because they play better team basketball.
Yeah, they have to. Yeah.
It's a must because we don't have that guy. Now, in those high leverage moments, which we face versus San Antonio Spurs, now all of a sudden you see why you need that guy, though. So that is a thing. Now you have to learn how to do both. And if you can do that, you find yourself similar to the Utah Jazz. Donovan Mitchell goes out. They have not gone on a losing streak. They haven't won the same, I don't think, at the same clip that they were, but it is possible. So for the Kings, when you talk about that, I would definitely leverage myself on the side of high IQ players, players that understand how to play the game, players that are willing to play selflessly, continue to put at the forefront of everything player development and making sure that this is an absolute machine. When you bring players in here, they are going to learn how to play the game of basketball at a really high level. And with that being said, I have no idea what Monty's going to do as far as bringing the team back, different stuff. Terrence Davis, who you mentioned, that's a big question mark. He's been good. I like him. I like a second-year player that has those type of he has a Bobby Jackson-esque mm-hmm. to him. He'll put up a lot of points. Some nights, you know, Bobby's shot wasn't falling, but he can affect the game in other ways. That is important. He can handle the ball. I think he could get better at handling the basketball, meaning, like, if he gets the rebound, bring it. So you're right. Mo Harkless, I think, like, both of those guys right now, they're doing the Kings a disservice, but they're doing themselves a great service. The disservice to the Kings is I might have to bounce up out of here because I'm playing really good and everyone else gets to see for themselves. They're adding, you know, a zero,
they are.
Another crooked digit, and that's good for them. I mean, that's what you want to do.
And it's odd that I thought the way the roster was constructed at the beginning, you could argue, you know, veteran type like Glenn Robinson in the third, Whiteside, who was more in the mix, Bielitsa, Kojo.
These guys are upgrades from that.
Yeah.
Now, Bielitsa's IQ, no.
Yeah, and I don't know why per se. Like, based on Harkless, NBA veteran. Bielitsa, NBA, but it just seems like the fit has been better.
The game is Mo's game. The game necessarily – there is a belly part to it, meaning, like, he can stretch the floor and knock down threes. But I would put, for what position Mo holds on the team in the pecking order, by the time I get to him, that guy needs to be long and athletic and the ability to defend. I don't need that guy right now that just can shoot the three-pointer. Yeah. That's not for that spot. For me.
In fairness of the debate, though, when they were healthy, Daquan Jeffries, Belly, Kojo, Whiteside, they were 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th men. These guys right now are playing great. DeLon Wright started. I mean, we're getting caught up in numbers he's putting up because he's playing 30-something minutes a game,
right.
Mo Harkless and Davis. If Fox, Halliburton, Barnes healthy, those guys are 7th, 8th, 9th men.
Right.
And maybe are we as – like we might go, yeah, they're nice, but are we as excited about what they could be?
If we understand basketball and understand how to equate the same production in lower numbers.
Okay.
So the numbers aren't going to be the same, but the numbers, that's why they say per 48,
sure.
per 24, per 36, all of a sudden now you see that that's what it would be equatable to. So if you can get this same production out of them with less time, mm-hmm. well, now you're cooking with grease. And that is exactly what you want to do. That is what Jordan Clarkson is bringing to the Utah Jazz when he comes in. And right now, he's going for 40.
Mm-hmm.
But when Donovan Mitchell's there, he's going for 20, 22 some nights. Same production, less minutes, same impact in less minutes.
Yeah. As far as the Kings front, we mentioned the magic number being 1 on any combination of a Kings loss or a Spurs win.
Damn it! Why do you keep saying that?
They're eliminated. Well, it leads me to this. Would you play Fox or Halliburton at all? I mean, excuse me, Fox or Barnes at all?
Only if you have a chance.
Well, technically tonight they do, right?
Yeah, but you got not.
Then, like, you're waiting for the last game?
No, this is light work. Let's see what, because now it's out of your hands. If it was in your hands, my answer to you would be yes.
Okay.
But the fact that it's now out of your hands, I'm playing a wait and see game.
So is that, let's do that then. To keep it in your hands, you have to win tonight.
Okay. We got to win every game.
Right. But I'm saying, like, if they win tonight and the Spurs lost tomorrow, which I think is Brooklyn, that first Memphis, like the Memphis game then maybe, right?
Yep.
Okay.
It's a possibility.
And then if the Spurs won tomorrow, then you're like, okay,
shut
them down.
Yeah, then you're out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I wish it was in this case.
Only the Kings had Mitch Trubisky.
You know, when you have him, Doug, there's a chance.
Not in this position. ACV. Not even Mitch is saving us from this one, baby.
Hey, grill, fire pit, outdoor heater. Cinch is the 100% answer for your propane needs. Cinch.com.
It's a cinch. Chase it.
All right, when we come back, more from around the NBA, including some teams that are helping their playoff fate, others that hurt that last night, and trouble or no trouble coming your way at the top of the 4 o'clock hour as we continue here on KHDK. All right, back here on Sports 1140, again, coming up at the top of the hour, trouble or no trouble.
Woo!
Tuesday, got some good categories coming to you, and again, more in the next hour as well on the A's situation as Major League Baseball is put its foot down on the A's there and basically saying, make up your mind, Oakland.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I made up my mind.
Yeah?
Deuce Mason brought me a hot coffee, and it's a hot day. That's how I roll, Jason.
You're feeling good. Uh-huh. Nice and cool. It's what, 70 in here?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I tried to tell him.
Yeah. You got long sleeves on.
Ice
coffee. You're looking good.
Oh, thank you, man.
Ready for the show. Ready for the broadcast tonight.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Didn't have to do much work. I still did my work. I didn't have to do much when you play back-to-back.
Yeah. You think the league will do this more next year? I mean, this was almost out of necessity, but I also think logistically
know.
It makes sense.
It does. Kind of baseball-esque.
Yeah.
In many ways. Like, you know, post up for 3-day, 2 games, whatever, in and out, regionally trying to take more advantage of that.
Yeah.
One
trip out here for OKC. I mean, normally it would have been twice or, you know, the Kings – when they go to Memphis later this week, they're just there for two. It's kind of like it.
I guess my question is going to be, are we going back to 82?
I believe so.
Oh.
That's my belief. I don't know that any of that is certain, but.
Yeah. Well, if you go back to 82, I think we're going to go back a little bit more towards what we were.
Okay.
That would be my guess. But
yeah.
you never know.
Now, this year, out of the way the year went, too, because, you know, like this Memphis game coming up was supposed to be before the All-Star break, and those were some COVID complications for the Grizzlies. Kings weren't able to play them. But what I like about baseball is generally the way they start the year and end the year. They end it in the division. So, like, if you're doing this little pod, like
it
if
helped.
This last week was two with the Warriors, two with the Lakers, two with the Clippers or Suns, you know, when you were X amount of games, I think that could bring some good drama.
Oh, it most definitely could, especially if, like you say, if you're X games out and each game counts mm-hmm. for a whole one. And,
right.
Yeah, it could have big implications.
Yeah.
In the playoff picture more than anything.
For the Lakers in the playoff picture, it looks like LeBron was going to give it a go tonight, but now they're saying tomorrow night he will return. So he was scheduled to go today, one more day of rest. He won't play against the Knicks. He'll be back in action tomorrow. I think they play the Rockets.
Yeah, so. that's two totally different styles
yes.
of basketball.
Yes,
there's a physical, grinding New York Knickerbocker style, and then there is Rockets.
Whatever they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what they are, Doug, is they were the team. There were two teams that had the longest playoff streaks going, and we were mentioning the Kings about to tie the NBA record for longest playoff drought, but the two current active longest streaks belong to Houston, which is now done.
Okay.
And Toronto. They were eliminated yesterday. They had 8 straight years, both those organizations, of making the playoffs, and they both are out. And Houston made a complete transformation. Toronto, I don't know exactly what happened to them this year, but I got to believe the Tampa Bay thing is a little bit of a factor.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
And you don't know how long that's going to last. I mean, might Canada continue
yeah.
going into next year, and they may have to post up there again. And you also think, like Kyle Lowry, this is
right.
Expiring contract. What's he going to do? Come back? I would say probably the arguably the greatest Raptor of all time, and so many different
next to Doug Christie.
Well, I'm right behind him now in steals, but the point is do you bring him back? Which way do you go with everything that the Raptors are? Masai Ujiri, the general manager, built a championship squad, very questionable with trading DeMar DeRozan, who you look at is being really productive right now, but they couldn't get over the hump. So a lot of questions for them.
Yeah, the longest playoff streak right now then is 7, and it could go to 8 this year if Portland secures a spot. Technically, they're the 6th seed right now. Still could be in the playing game, so technically could miss the playoffs. But Portland, and they're in a funny situation where there were some reports, I think that was last week, yeah, talking about if they didn't have a long run, whatever long run is deemed to front office, that Terry Stotts could be out.
I could see that.
Same with Coach Bud in Milwaukee. Man, that how about that kind of pressure where you're winning? It's a little bit like Adelman here where you go, yeah, 8 crazy years of success. Yes, he did not win a championship, but we've seen what's happened since. Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, the Bud one, I guess you got to have boots on the ground to really understand.
Yeah, what are the players saying?
Yeah, what's going on there? Because I seen something similar with him in Atlanta. And, like, they were – I think they won 62 games one year, and they got bumped in the playoffs, like, soon. Stylistically, it is a style, and that wins games during the regular season, similar to Houston and everything that we watch with them. It's just in the playoffs, they did not have the success. I would argue that Adelman had success in the playoffs. He just never won a championship. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. Like, he went to the finals in Portland a couple times, the multiple Western Conference championships, got a couple here, just the inability to win the big one. Terry Stotts? What's your take there? Because I said to you the other day, I think that at some point, otherwise Damian Lillard, I would think, is going to, as much as he wants to stay there, something has to change. Is it Neil O'Shea in the front office? Is it Terry Stotts? The pecking order of the finger is going to spin around and point at somebody.
Yeah, that's one I would gauge his interest. I mean, here yesterday we talked about De'Aaron Fox in an article that was how he said COVID – you know, hit him like a truck, but he basically, in the same article, really endorsed Luke Walton. So it's important, I think, and you tell me, Doug, isn't it important to listen to your star player?
Yes, I think so.
So if you move on from Stotts, you better be comfortable that Lillard's comfortable with that and whatever the replacement is. Otherwise, you could be looking at the end of Lillard.
Exactly. And that's why, here we go again, you got to have a system and a plan, because then you can lay that out, and this is how we're going. The fact that Stotts is on the verge like that just kind of speaks to the fact that maybe it's ran its course there. Lillard, I don't think, is the type of guy that's going to come out and not endorse him, but behind closed doors, they may have a conversation that says, look, we need something different, because they've done a lot of different stuff. It just has not worked for whatever reason. Those are tough ones, man, because those have been organizations that have been highly productive. Mm-hmm. In both of those cases, I would say that it's more talent than anything else, because the ascension of the Milwaukee Bucks has been the ascension of the Greek Freak. Everything that we saw in Portland has been the crazy play of Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
It's not like those guys are running the gamut and laying things out. These players are playing some big-time basketball.
Yeah, we've seen teams, Toronto, wildly successful with Dwayne Casey. They make the move. They go to Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse wins a championship. But then you got, Brett Brown last year. He was getting Philly to the playoffs. You've had other coaches, Nate McMillan. 5 years in a row, got the Pacers to the playoffs. Not out of round one. They move on from him, and there will be some coaches that make the playoffs this year that will ultimately get terminated when their season comes to an end. All right, first hour complete. When we come back, hour number two in this next hour, we'll have Chris's over-under. We got the crossover. We will talk about that trouble going on with the Oakland A's and their stadium future, or their future in Oakland. But when we come back, speaking of trouble, it's trouble or no trouble. We've got that coming your way next here on KHDK.